I'm Dr. Sarah, a licensed chiropractor.
And I'm Val, clinical research enthusiast and international board-certified lactation consultant.
We are passionate about helping you navigate women's health and wellness topics naturally.
We bring the information and options
so you can make empowered choices.
This is the Empowered Women podcast. Just a reminder, the information contained in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or illness or be taken as medical advice. Always check with your healthcare provider for medical advice.
Mercury's in retrograde. That's why all the kids are freaking crazy.
So I read this Mercury retrograde was supposed to set right things that were disheveled by the recent solar eclipse last week.
Oh.
Not that the energy doesn't affect. I mean, I still feel like it's causing a lot of, like, weird communication. You know, like, how it causes, like, all kinds of, like, weird glitches.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess in their nervous system, too, because it's, like, everything today, like, with the kids. Or just the little one. Bianca's actually fine, which is interesting.
We didn't have our school today, so we went to the babysitters, and I picked him up, and the babysitter was like, he's so good all the time. I love having him here. He's so pleasant and happy and talking and blah, blah, blah. We get home.
And he's melting down for you.
Nightmare. Nightmare. Anyways.
It's always, I feel like it says a lot when they're on their best behavior when you're not around.
Yes.
Which is nice, but then they feel like they can, well, they can be themselves around you, which is why they get crazy.
He was like nuts.
I'm always like, can we just like not be ourselves around each other? I wonder if our interpersonal relationships would be a lot better.
Listen, that is literally what we're going to talk about today. So really? I'm kind of excited about this.
Okay, so let's talk about it because you had a really cool idea and you were super pumped about it. I love when you're pumped about an idea.
I get excited about ideas. So welcome back to the Empowered Women Pod, first and foremost.
We're so glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here. We are doing things a little bit different today. So this research study, I had a patient mention it to me. Right. I had Dr. Jared saw something on his Instagram about it, and then it showed up on mine. And I'm really hoping this hasn't come across yours yet because I want your like initial gut reaction to it.
So this is going like viral and you know, I follow, is it like, okay, is it like a crunchy theme thing or is it not?
No,
okay.
This is actually quite an older study.
Okay.
And I need to look to see if anybody has tried to recreate it, but it's from 2008. It's really interesting. Okay. And I want you to tell me, like, pause when you have a thought, feeling, suggestion.
Okay.
So this is just the general outline. It's not the actual study. It's a health magazine, like, took the study and is talking about it. So it's more of an outline that I'm just going to read to Val.
Okay.
I want to get her initial gut reactions. And if you've already like read about this, I'm gonna be kind of bummed. No, but I've been talking about it all weekend and I'm excited.
So for everyone listening, 2008 is technically in the research realm kind of, it is older than 10 years. Mm-hmm. So when you're like trying to provide people with like up-to-date evidence-based research, we typically don't go back that far. Right. However, we do look at older studies if there's nothing more recent or anybody has done anything further or replicated it. I mean, there are studies back from the 70s in some areas of research where the data honestly is good and still stands today, but people refuse to like accept and acknowledge it because they think that there's something better, even though it still proves to be working.
So the interesting thing about this is that whenever I went to find the original study, it doesn't look like it's updated. And I really question why, because I think it's a really, really interesting theory.
And like, wait, let's see what it is, because I bet we could have all kinds of conversations about why there's like no funding for it.
Oh, you're going to be like, I know why there's no funding for it.
Okay, good. I'm so excited.
Okay, so forgive me. I'm literally reading this word for word plagiarism from Reuters Health.
Okay.
So this is Healthcare and Pharma, Reuters Health. It's a publication, and they're talking about a study that was done in the UK. Okay.
Okay.
So the title of this article is Birth Control Affects Sexiness of a Man's Scent.
Mm.
Have you heard about this?
No, but we need to talk about this because somebody brought this up from the woman. Go ahead.
Okay. So birth control pills may affect how appealing a woman finds a man's scent, potentially steering her towards a mate who is genetically similar to her, according to British researchers. The sense of smell is thought to be important to mate-seeking animals and humans. Genes of the major histocompatibility complex play a role in a person's odor, and people tend to be attracted to those with MHC makeup that is dissimilar to their own.
Oh, I love that.
Okay. So this could have evolutionary significance mm-hmm. since genetic diversity in a couple increases the chance of having healthy children.
Mm-hmm.
But in a new study, researchers found that after women begin using birth control pills, their mm-hmm. sense of smell preferences shifted,
yes.
making them more yeah. likely to find scent of a genetically similar man sexy.
Mm-hmm.
The findings appear in the journal Proceedings of the Royal Society B, and I can post that.
Which is the opposite of what Dr. Sarah is saying we want. So right. we want lots of genetic diversity. We want to meet with people that are not as genetically similar to us. Let's think back to when families would interbreed. If those of you are familiar with what used to go on in Austria, mm-hmm. I mean, like lots and lots of issues. Like the closer you are genetically to your partner, like the worse it is. So what Dr. Sarah is saying we want is to be able to be attracted to partners that are not like us. And mm-hmm. women using birth control affects our ability to sniff out a man that fits that criteria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I have not seen this come up, so I'm so glad you brought it up. I do want to tell you, and I'm not even sure if she's listening, but Lacey Morgan from King of Prussia Doulas that
she
we
is, she had texted me today about our last episode.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah.
I don't even know what our last episode was. It the one we talked about?
Breastfeeding. So oh, I'm going to link her class actually to our last
episode.
Oh,
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she brought this up. I spoke to her doulas, to her doula group. And she had said birth control had come up somehow, some way. And people were joking about how one woman was joking about how she was divorced and maybe birth control mm-hmm. affected. Like people were joking about how them being on birth control may have affected the type of mate that they chose.
No, it's real. This is what this study is saying.
Yes. So it's very real. I've been like doing some more like falling down the rabbit hole. You know, we talk a lot about birth control on this podcast and its effects on women's health and mental health and well-being overall. But this is like very important. So pheromones are scents that mm-hmm. animals use to sense each other, smell each other. And human beings use pheromones a lot too, even though we don't think we do.
Right. Well, there's certain things that you can put on to increase your pheromones.
Right.
And like
right. Yeah. And this is very interesting because our hormones are affected by us taking artificial hormones.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
not only is it affecting so many things psychologically and physically related to our cycles, but the hormones being changed are having a subsequent effect on our ability to
pick a mate out
and attract, yeah, like a mate that we would want. Or that we should probably be going after.
So this is how they did it. Okay. So for the study, researchers led by Dr. Craig Roberts of the University of Liverpool recruited 110 women ranging from 18 to 35. They had each volunteer to rate the odors of six men using t-shirts that the men had worn overnight. As far as I know, they weren't allowed to like wear deodorant or anything. They just had to like essentially sweat into these shirts. Mm-hmm. The women were asked to rate the odor pleasantness, considered as a correlation of sexiness, and odor intensity. Odor desirability was tested with the question, based on this smell, how much would you like this man as a long-term partner? For each woman, the investigators pre-selected three MHC similar and three MHC dissimilar men. At the time of first sniffing session, none of the women were using oral contraceptives. A second session took place 3 months later after 40 women had started using birth control. The researchers found that in general, the more pleasant a woman found a man's odor, the more desirable he was to her. But among the women who began using birth control pills, the definition of a sexy odor changed over time.
I'm wondering, so you said, and we would have to look at the study more closely, you said birth control pills. So I'm assuming that they were looking at combined hormonal contraceptive pills. So the estrogen, progestin combo pill. Right. And I'm wondering if like different types of hormonal birth control would produce different effects.
That would be interesting.
If like the progestin only or the NuvaRing or the Depo Provera or the is it NexPlan? The implant. Yeah. Anyway, like I wonder if all the because they're different types of hormones.
Hormones and hormone shutdown regulation.
This is a combi pill, right? That's like really interesting to me.
So the results show that the preferences of women who began using contraceptive pills shifted towards men with genetically similar odors.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
If the sense of smell is in fact a strong player in humans' mate choices, the researchers write birth control pills just might nudge a woman toward a lesser than ideal men. Not only could this MHC similarity in couples lead to fertility problems, but it ultimately can lead down to the breakdown of relationships when women stop using contraceptive pills, as odor perception plays a significant role in maintaining attraction to partners. So in the video I watched, they described it even more as a like an immune response. So let's say like if you are a woman with an immune response that is less than in like subcategory one or whatever, you would want to find a mate that is very strong in that.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Yes. No, that makes sense.
Because then you would have a complete immune system in your offspring.
It's like complementary.
Correct. So they were finding that, you know, with the introduction of birth control, they were more drawn to what they were weak in, and it's creating this weak response in immune systems.
Offspring. This is wild. I feel like on so many levels.
So many levels.
Yeah.
But like, what is your gut reaction? And why do you think there's not a ton of research behind something like this then?
Well, my gut reaction is it makes
so much sense.
So much sense. I mean, I love how sometimes there's like scientific, I swear, sometimes I see like a headline for a scientific study and I literally like spit my drink out and have to laugh out loud. Like, oh, you're kidding. Like, that's so obvious. But I guess we had to like have a study to prove to everybody that there's science for common sense half the time. Like, literally some of the things. Now, this to me is not surprising given everything that you and I know and understand about hormonal contraceptives.
Right.
Not everybody knows and understands or really wants to like accept some of the side effects or things that could be going wrong because of their hormonal contraceptives. Again, I think this this comes back to a lot of women take birth control.
Yeah.
A lot of money, I would think. I would have to look up revenue-wise, like, how much it actually yields for certain companies. There are certain companies that just manufacture birth control. So I'm sure, you know, for them, it's super important.
Well, a lot of birth control, fertility issues, divorce.
Yes. So there's lots of, like Dr. Sarah saying, there's lots of profit to be made off of people's misfortunes.
Yes.
And this, unfortunately, that's what it comes down to. You know, it makes complete biological sense, you know, from a biochemical standpoint. You're taking artificial hormones, they're going to affect anything that's hormone related for a human being. And that happens to be scent and pheromones and what you're giving off and what you are smelling yourself as a female.
Well, I can think about like when I'm pregnant and breastfeeding, I smell so different.
You smell so different. And I'll be honest, having a boy and having a girl, and I've talked to other mothers about this, the smell being pregnant and afterwards until my hormones were like level again was completely different between a boy and a girl.
How'd you smell with Bianca?
I didn't smell. With Jude, I had to use I use nothing but like a natural deodorant. I had to use like full on men's deodorant my whole pregnancy.
Now, and I stunk with Eli.
Yeah. And it took a while. It took until like my hormones were level afterwards or back to some type of normal, you know, in that like 12-week postpartum period and like you're not sweating as much and all that stuff for me to like actually feel normal again. Like I didn't even wearing shirts because my armpits would get so soaked. And then in order to not stink, I had to use like a men's deodorant. And someone said something to me like that happened when I had my son too. Like it's like a thing. And that makes sense because, you know, you're biologically manufacturing another gender, you know what I'm saying? Like hormonally inside of you, it's different. So, I mean, it's really cool. And we'll have to link, the research article and that article summarizing it for people too.
Oh, absolutely.
Cause that's a legitimate, that's a good source. The one that was kind of, paraphrasing it.
Right. So right.
But yeah, I think it has a lot to do with money and it has a lot to do with women's rights. And we've talked with this extensively with Chloe in that birth control episode. Yes. Because as women, we have fought so hard to have reproductive rights and to have access to birth control and even have birth control. And, you know, when you start just constantly shining a light on everything that's wrong with something that has been fought so hard for, it's like, well, okay, well then what was the point? You know, like
everything. Right, right.
So but that being said, if you shine the light too bright at it and you start to expose so many things that are going so wrong with it and affecting women's health regularly on so many levels, maybe it shouldn't be available then or used, you know, if it's like that detrimental to everybody's health. And that's going to be the, you know, and then it comes down to, again, like an argument of the sides. Well, like, oh, we should have it. We shouldn't have it. It's fine that we have something available to us.
But it shouldn't be the end all be all for everything. It shouldn't
be the end all be all. There should always be informed consent. And that's not happening. It's not happening when women and girls and teenagers and young women are prescribed any type of birth control.
Like, well, especially like if this is a legit thing, you're fucking with people's futures. Seriously, like that could really screw up,
backfire in a big way.
Like, I think about the people that I dated on birth control.
Oh yes, 1,000%.
And coming off birth control, my brain is so different. Like, I think I'm lucky that within a month of meeting my husband, I was off birth control because I needed to do it for myself and I'm a completely different person. But like a lot of people wait till they're already married and then they want to have kids. And then like in that moment, they're like, or when they're coming down and maybe they're already pregnant at that point, they're like, whoa, this is not who I thought you were. And they think it's the pregnancy or the baby, but maybe it's legitimately their brain coming back to normal and just recognizing that this is not a good match.
Because it does affect your brain, guys.
Yeah.
It affects your brain.
And if you really want to know more about like the birth control and what Val is just talking about, look at the episode with womb chakra wellness with Chloe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we go into it a lot.
We go into a lot. And again, that's not to say like, look, I'm always going to be pro modern medicine. Yep. If somebody wants to use it and they've looked at all their options and they've decided that's the best choice for them, I will 1000% always support you or, you know, whoever's listening.
Right.
I do think that it's great to have things available that are so awesome. But I do also think that, again, I talked about this in the first episode I did, you and I did. We've gotten to a point where like we don't play God. Like, let's just be clear. Human beings have a God complex. And we are so far removed from any type of reality where we are actually in control of what we think we're in control of, you know. And I'm not going to get up on my spiritual soapbox, but like, I mean, let's bring it back down to earth. We are only a species that has not been around that long. And yes, we have made leaps and bounds in medicine, and they're great and they're amazing and they're life-saving when we need them. But if you have too much of a good thing, you've got to be really careful.
Right. Well, I was just, so I have a friend who I was telling her about this study. She had dated somebody for 10 years. They got married. Did she get off birth control? No, she didn't. They just ended up having, you know, the small percentage, they got pregnant, right? Mm-hmm. She had the baby, came off birth control, and I mean, he had changed very much, but she looked at him. She's like, I don't know why we're like, he didn't want to be married anymore. She realized he was not the person for her. They're divorced now, but they have a beautiful daughter, and like, we have Bella, or we have her in this world. Mm-hmm. But I was telling her about this study, and she was like, yeah, I believe it.
Yeah,
because my brain is totally different off birth control. And the reason she got put on birth control was because she wasn't getting a period.
My God.
And it made me think of Courtney in our episode with Courtney Keeping Balance.
I still don't understand. And we can talk with Chloe about this more when we're going to have her on again for another episode soon. Putting somebody on hormones that shuts down your cycle to get a cycle makes no sense.
It never makes sense.
I still don't understand from a medical perspective.
But that's
I'm trying
on a drug that literally changes your brain, could potentially change your relationships, and like, for what?
It flatlines your hormones to be something that it's totally artificial, and you're not even getting a real bleed. It's not a real period, guys. Like, you're not ovulating. Like, you're not – it's like
– I think the thing that, like, makes me so upset about, like, this particular study is that, like, it's always made me upset that, you know, you don't get informed consent. You don't get XYZ. But, like if this is true and this could be replicable and you can get, like, defiant answers on this – this is messing with people's lives. It could be messing with people's lives.
Time. And I do want to say something else that came to mind while we were talking. And this is a really, in my opinion, this is a really important point. And I think we all really need to sit with this as women, as men, as anybody that supports, you know, females or empowered women. They went and manufactured birth control for the sex and gender that has, I'm sorry, don't want to say gender, for the sex, the biological sex, that has the more and most complicated hormonal system and cycle. Instead of generating birth control for the sex, the biological sex, male, that has a simple 24-hour clock.
Right.
Whoa, why wouldn't you make birth control for the sex that doesn't have a ridiculously complicated hormonal system that is on a 28-day cycle? We're not even supposed to function as human beings outside of that. Like, we should be living in a 28-day flow cycle. That makes no sense. Why? Because you think it's easier to like stop ovulation, or we're the ones with the problem because we're the ones that can get pregnant. So we're the ones that should have to take the fake hormones with our complicated cycles and mess them up so that the entire species can benefit. You're all welcome.
You know,
it makes no freaking sense. Again, women, we're the problem. Let's
fix the problem.
There's nothing wrong with men.
No. Yes. Yes. Just,
and then,
yeah.
I think they've come out, or I've heard about male birth control pills, or like.
Did I not send this to you? It was like.
They've done tons of research on this. I'm like,
they halted the research because the side effects were like achy joints and injection site pain.
Are you kidding me?
And headaches. Lethargy, fatigue.
fatigue. Welcome to our world.
Fatigue. Oh.
Like, oh my God.
I looked at these side effects and I was like, this is insane.
I am not here to bash any love. But like, let's be serious. I think we can all agree as a species that it would be easier for the people with the less complicated cycle to be the ones that deal with the birth control.
Like, those symptoms mean nothing. That's just a regular cycle for women, like, on a real cycle.
There's side effects of every, like, medication known to man.
Yes. So, and, like, don't get me wrong. If the side effect was, like, erectile dysfunction, like...
Oh, yeah, or something, like, terrible.
Like, I'll believe it. Like, okay, like, that's pretty terrible for a man, and, like, I'm sorry you would have to go through that. Maybe we should try something else. But come on. Like you said, that's the first like 5 side effects in any medication.
It's like, yeah. So, I mean, that's also something that came up that I was thinking of when we were talking about this. Because we're extremely biologically complex. And I don't even know why you would want to mess with that. And yet here we are so many decades after birth control has been available to us. You would think... by this point, they would have come out with multiple options.
That actually, like, didn't stick with you.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to get up on my soapbox here. We can come out with a random RNA vaccine in a matter of, mRNA vaccine in a matter of months when there's a global pandemic, but we can't figure out male birth control after decades and decades and decades. I guess there wasn't enough financial incentive.
Oh,
sorry.
But isn't there though? Like, how many of your friends are like, listen, I don't want a hysterectomy, get a vasectomy.
Yeah, so
like,
many,
so many more now.
Vasectomies. Yes, it's super common. And like, I'm like, sorry, like I don't know. Like, I feel like. Again, it's even more complicated to do any type of surgery on a woman, than it is a man. Like, the tube tying, like, whatever, hysterectomy. Now, granted, if someone's having a C-section, I know a lot of times they'll just do it when they're in there. But
But I feel like that's also, like, emergency purposes that they have to, like, it's not
common. Yeah, a lot of times, yeah, unless someone has a planned C-section for, like, a subsequent baby. But, like... yeah, I feel like vasectomies are so simple now. Everybody gets them. They can reverse them.
I know. You can't put my bits back in.
They can reverse them. I know. And so many, I feel like lots of men are willing to do that, you know, when everybody's done having kids.
Honestly, I was going to say, if he doesn't, I would question that. Like, why? It is so simple. Outpatient procedure. And apparently they give you a sandwich before you leave. And that is more complimentary than any IUD insertion.
Yeah. Or any gynecological exam you'll ever have.
Anyways.
Yeah. Can I get my sandwich after my pap smear, please?
Yeah. after my internal ultrasound to see if I have any cysts.
Oh God, they're the worst. I've had
the worst.
Well, you know, people call them, like, they say it's like rape, some type of rape they call it. Like, that's how like disturbing they are for people.
Well, it's
weird. Again, like, how come
it hurts.
Technology we've had, we can't come up with a better way to do, like.
Well, like, the first time I had one, I was 15.
Oh, yeah, that's disturbing.
Never had any kind of, like, intercourse.
Yeah. Okay.
And, like, yeah, and, like, not only is it disturbing and, like, a lot for, like, anyone, mm-hmm. this sounds so stupid, but, like, they make you literally drink 32 ounces of water before you go in there so your bladder's full enough to push into your ovaries so that they can see better. You know how uncomfortable that is?
I cried with Jude when I went to get my 20-week ultrasound. And actually, I've been told when I was that far along, you shouldn't even need to drink that much water. If the ultrasound tech is really good, you don't need a full bladder. And, like, I literally was in tears, like, in the waiting room. And I couldn't even get on the table. And she was like, do you want to let some out? I went to the bathroom. I tried to let some out and knew I was going to, like, not be able to do it. So I stood back up, got dressed, and was like, I can't do it. You need to just do what you need to do so I can, like, go to the bathroom. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm usually a very nice person, but this is, like,
this is unbearable. Yeah.
Let them out and then stop it. So, like, you're holding it even longer. Like, again, the stuff we have to go through.
Especially, like, when you have an ovarian cyst and, like, endometriosis, you're pushing into all that inflammation and scar tissue and shit. Like, I didn't get a sandwich after that.
What else?
I didn't get a sandwich.
Do you have any other, like, you had some good thoughts on why it's not, like, being researched any further?
My biggest thing is, like, monetary value, right?
Yeah.
Monetary value. Look at our divorce rate in this country. It's, like, creeping above 50% at this point. That's a huge market for people. Mm-hmm. Pharmaceutical companies, huge market for people. Fertility, yeah. Infertility issues, huge market for people. And, like, the saddest part is that more and more and more and more teenagers are just going on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just
and being given no other options.
Mm-mm. For, like, I was going to say for silly reasons.
Yeah, but it's for basic like, yes, I understand. Yeah. There's, like, some simple tweaks that could be made to somebody's, like, diet system or using supplements or get to the root of it and see what is causing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it could be fixed.
And, like, I'm sorry, but we go back to this almost every episode. There are very, very good doctors out there, and then there are not very good doctors out there. So, like, you know, when I had just talked to a patient, she's older, but she's having, like, a bunch of like, it's clearly, like, hormones mm-hmm. going on. She talked to her OB, and her OB literally said to her, why would I order you a hormone panel? I don't even know how to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're an OBGYN. You can't tell somebody how their hormone cycle works?
Yeah.
That's failure. Like, that's failure.
It's just, I mean, and in their defense, they're doing what they were, I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
They're taught. I think it comes down to, like, the system that you went through. And
how can you prescribe fake hormones and not know the cycle?
Or not know the side effects, or be able to talk to somebody about the side effects.
So it always comes back down to just know what you're doing, look further.
And I think the side effects are usually known by practitioners. I think sometimes they're really glossed over, or they're treated like they're super mild and, like, they're super minimal. So, right. Like, oh, you might have some spotting or, like, breakthrough bleeding, or you might gain 5 or 10 pounds, but, like, it's not bad. Like, that's about it. You know, like,
for a lot of people, like, that is bad. Mm-hmm. That is terrible.
Read your package inserts, friends. That's all I can say.
Yep. If you have thoughts or feelings on this research article, because I'm going to look for the original and, like,
yeah, we can find
it. We can always come back to this article at a later date, because I just think it's super interesting.
Yeah.
I just want, I literally found this last week, and I really wanted to pick Val's brain on it.
Yeah, so, no, that's cool. Yeah. And it's just funny because it makes me think of like, you know, it. I don't know. I like want everyone to think about smells, like how important smells are, and how your partner smells, and their different smells, and what you're attracted to, and
when Mike's UC flares, he stinks to me.
Really? That's crazy.
You can smell him from a room away.
Huh.
But it's like that immunosuppressant,
that's crazy.
Like autoimmune disease. It's, yeah. His immune system is not functioning, and my body's like, oh my God, you are not okay.
That's so.
And when he's healthy, I don't smell him.
Yeah, I love that.
And it's not like, you know, if somebody has a candida infection, you can smell their breath like pretty bad. Mm-hmm. I'm talking like body odor. I can smell him from a room away. I'm like, you're sick, aren't you? You're having like a small flare. And he's like, yep.
Mm.
But my body can pick up on like his immune system not functioning.
And I feel like our senses are different at different times of the month.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can smell things more strongly, you know, and that makes a lot of sense. Because think about when you're pregnant and your progesterone is super high and it's
everything in the makes beginning. You want to vomit.
Yeah, and, like, everything you smell is so heightened. I mean, there's definitely times in my cycle where I'm like, I don't smell that. And then there's other times where I can smell, like, everything. And I'm like, it stinks in here. Why does it stink in here?
Two comments on that. Dr. Rachel, good friend of mine, she has had a super sniffer, we call it, since her second pregnancy. But she just noticed it's cyclical after her third, where it heightens the week before her period. She notices. Second thing is I have a friend who had an unexpected pregnancy in undergrad. She lived at the top of the sorority house. And could smell bleach all the way in the basement.
That's crazy.
She like literally had to go track it down because it was so.
It was bothering strong. Her. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. There was like a cap off of a bleach bottle and she had to put the cap back on. That's how strong it was.
Smell is important.
It is.
It like, I think we talked about in the essential oil episode that the limbic system and your memory, it affects the part of your brain where memories lie. It affects your blood pressure, your respiration rate, like all kinds of crazy things.
Well, it's like it's your immediate response for protection from poison.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like smell their food and are like, you know, historically we would smell things first.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that.
So they give it to like a taster. Could you imagine that job? Jesus.
Taster.
I mean, the anxiety. I would not want to be some.
Joffrey should have had a taster.
Yeah. Did you drop dead yet?
Are you done?
Oh, I can't do that. I know. So dangerous.
Anyways, that's what I got today.
That was a good one.
Thanks.
That was a good one. We'll have to do more of these. We'll have to, when we come across random research articles.
I think I'm just going to not send you anything on Instagram so that our algorithms don't sync up.
I love surprises. So this works out really good.
Good. All right. Like I said, if you like this episode, if you like this kind of style of episode where it's just almost live reactions, drop a like, share this episode with people that you might think it's interesting because that stuff matters. So like, subscribe, comment, and do all the good stuff.
Thanks for being with us, guys.
Yep. Especially those who listen every week. We really do appreciate it. All right. Have a good day.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to hear more like it, make sure you subscribe to the Empowered Women Pod and rate us 5 stars. Please feel free to also write a review on the podcast. It really does help to spread the Empowered Women message and it moves us up in the podcast rankings. Plus, we love to hear from our listeners. You can follow us on Instagram at Empowered Women Pod, or if you have a question and want to reach out to Val or I, you can email us at empoweredwomenpod@icloud.com.